I live in Israel. This season is dedicated to the memory of the 1,400 of my countrymen who were massacred on October 7th and the 240 people that were kidnapped and are being held hostage by the terrorist organization Hamas. Hopefully they will be returned to their families as soon as possible, and hopefully this terrible war will be able to come to a peaceful end very soon. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Minute 85 of Season 6 of Movie Rob Minute, the daily podcast, where we take a Capra-esque journey through the 1946 classic It's a Wonderful Life, one minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me to finish off the week is Leandra Lynn of the Rocky Horror Minute. Welcome back to the show, Leandra.
Thank you so much. I've enjoyed my time in Bedford Falls.
Minute 85 begins with George continuing to grill Uncle Billy and ends with George being blessed by his family. Mm. So basically, we left things yesterday. We see George's temper rising slowly and slowly and slowly because he's finally realized that, Billy has made one more mistake than he really should have, or than he should have been allowed to do. And the problem obviously is that, okay, if Billy has made this problem, how do we solve it? And that's what George has to try and figure out through the course of this minute, and we'll continue with that next week. We ended yesterday's minute with George asking Uncle Billy if he knows if he has any secret hiding places in the house. And he says to him, someplace you hide the money. And then Uncle Billy says, I've gone over the whole house, even in rooms that I have been locked since I lost Aura. Now, first of all, we see that Billy is basically completely broken at this point. And he pretty much even starts to it looks like he's about to start to cry by the, out of despair. It's a good thing, I guess, he never had to go grilled by a professional policeman or detectives or something like that. He looks like someone who would have broken much too easily with telling what he's done, what he needs to do and stuff like that. I mean, we see that he's sweating. We see that he's completely disheveled. And I mean, George also is a little bit disheveled because here they've been spending all these hours going through all these different places trying to find, this missing envelope that if they were just to go visit Potter, they would find it. It's very telling what Uncle Billy answers here by him saying, I've gone over the whole house, even in the rooms that have been locked since I lost Aura. Okay. Do you have any idea what he means by that?
Well, I'm guessing that it was his wife that passed away, and he just hasn't been in those rooms.
Right. You see, that's sort of my interpretation of it. Also, I mean, first of all, the name or the term Aura, that's actually my wife's name. So I just find it really funny. It's spelled differently than the way they spell it here. In the subtitles, it's spelled A-U-R-A. My wife's name is spelled O-R-A, which basically means in the translation of my wife's name, at least, means her light. But if you when I looked up A-U-R-A, so in the paranormal, it's a purported field of luminous multicolored radiation around a person or an object, the person, the aura around them, type of thing. It could be that it's a symptom that people experience before they have a migraine or a seizure. And it could also be a ring of light that surrounds a person in religious art, like a halo or something like that. There is an asteroid belt that is also named Aura. And I mean, there's a whole bunch of cities or towns in many different places around the world that are named that. There's one even in there's one in both Michigan and New Jersey, which are the two places I grew up in America, which I find very interesting. I mean, trying to think about the fact, and sorry, and the most important name that of use of Aura in fiction is that's a character in Flash Gordon. There's a Princess Aura.
Oh, yeah, I'd forgotten about that.
Yeah. So for me, the interesting thing is that we've seen Uncle Billy over the years. We've never seen him with anyone else. You know, they never gave us any indication that he wasn't just a confirmed bachelor. You know,
But I guess it makes sense. This
it
isn't
makes
the
a lot of
story
sense,
of Billy.
but it also means that his wife has been dead for a very long time. I would say his wife has been dead for at least 20 years, if not longer, if that's the case.
And it would make sense that Billy would be the type of person to just close some of those doors and never open them again.
Right. Correct. I mean, it definitely makes sense. I think it's a throwaway line, but it they do it really well because it helps give us a little more insight into this character. You know, because throughout the years, apparently if you know, maybe when Billy was married, maybe he was less forgetful because he had someone to constantly remind him of things. But now he doesn't have that. I was saying, yet George and Peter seem to still trust him.
That as somebody who is extremely forgetful, I do occasionally get to the point where I'm like, well, it's impossible that it would be in this spot, but I'm gonna look anyway because who knows? And it has me going into rooms that I know wouldn't have been visited during the time that I lost whatever it was. So this is extremely a series of minutes that resonate with me.
Okay, that's good that they resonate with you.
Is it?
Of course. I mean, come on, your story earlier this week had to do with It's a Wonderful Life. So, you know, it just goes to show that It's a Wonderful Life is more connected to your life than you think.
I guess that's fair.
You know. And we can just call you Uncle Billy. You could be known as Mr. Carter, you can be known as Uncle Billy, you know. Or you
I'm a
can just be known as
chameleon.
yourself. You definitely are a chameleon when it comes to that.
Very forgetful one.
So you see, then you won't even remember that you recorded these episodes, so that's fine too. You know, you'll be surprised
I
listening
know.
to them.
I'll go, I did. I did.
Exactly. And then George just blows his top and goes, "Listen to me, listen to me, think, think." And he's grabbing Uncle Billy by the jacket, as he's saying, and he goes, "I can't think anymore, George. I can't think anymore. It hurts. Where's that money, you silly, stupid old fool? Where's that money? Do you realize what this means? It means bankruptcy and scandal and prison. That's what it means. One of us is going to jail. Well, it's not going to be me." And then he just starts sobbing and sobbing and starts crying. You know, George has really made him feel, you know, that. I mean, obviously he made a mistake here, but George is really making him pay for it. There's no question about that.
And back on Monday, I was talking about how George is incredibly over-functional, and the anger that George Bailey is showing at Billy is almost that if you're really looking at it, it's almost rage that he even trusted him in the first place. This is there's a level of
So he's
anger at
angry at himself.
himself for putting himself, yeah, for putting himself in the situation.
Okay, I mean that's fair. But again, maybe part of it has to do with the fact that Peter Bailey trusted him in the same way. So if that's the case,
Oh,
if
for
Peter
sure.
if my father trusted him so much to this, then I should also trust him. That could be part of the thinking here also. And again, he's been doing this for 17 years. So let's he hasn't screwed up in these 17 years. There's no reason to believe he's going to tomorrow, even though he does.
And I can very much appreciate that this is so much worse a feeling than if it had been somebody else who had done it, because of course this was going to be Billy.
Meaning what?
Let's say that it was this was an accident by George himself, or by Eustace. Really, anybody. You see that these are people who at least seem to be fairly reliable. It would be almost more forgivable if this was an isolated incident, and you know that this wasn't something that that was just kind of a, what's the word I'm looking for? It's kind of typical of the person. I feel
Okay.
like, again,
It's what would be expected.
George, yeah, that this is very expected of Billy, even if it isn't something that has happened before. The fact that everybody knows that this is a thing that Billy is capable of makes this worse.
Okay.
That's all that I'm saying.
Okay. No, I can understand that. That makes sense. And they give us. You can really see so many things that are going on in this room all around them. First of all, did you notice that there's a picture of George on the top of the bookcase?
I didn't see that.
So there's a picture of George, and then there's a picture of two women. I'm assuming based on our assumption that he was married at some point, so one of them must be his wife, the other one is maybe his mother. I don't know, because you can tell that
Oh, that makes sense.
they're not the same women. They're not the same woman in both pictures. But then if you look around, you see all of these different animals inside of his of his room. He has a bird cage with three or four, sorry, four parakeets. There is a dog that's sitting on the couch. There is, as George is walking out, you can see that he passes by an owl. Which I'm still not sure if that's a real owl or it's actually it's a real owl because it moves its head. There you go. So as he's walking, you see an owl that follows him along the way, and then in the background you can also see a monkey hanging there. So he's got a lot of animals here, and we talked yesterday about there being a hamster, and in a few seconds we're going to see another animal pop up also.
My favorite one.
I think we need to start calling him Dr. Julu. That's what I would think.
And I get the impression that some of these are animals that he went out of his way to buy, but there are others that maybe he found them and they were injured and he just rehabbed them and nursed them back to health. And now he's got semi-domesticated wild animals just living in his house with him.
Right. That's correct. So let's just go through some of these different animals. So, for instance, a monkey. Do you think it's legal or illegal to own a monkey in the US?
And we're going with today, not in 1945,
That's correct.
correct?
I didn't check what was back then.
Okay.
Back then it was a free-for-all, I guess.
Yeah. My guess is you probably can't own a monkey in the US.
Okay, so there are actually only a very few number of states that do not have any restrictions on keeping monkeys as pets. So, for instance, you have Washington State, Montana, Nevada, North Dakota, Nebraska, Kansas, Iowa, Missouri, Arkansas, Wisconsin, Illinois, Ohio, Alabama, West Virginia, Virginia, North Carolina, and South Carolina. Those are the only states that don't allow. That don't have a problem with keeping monkeys. Most of the other states have problems with it. Some of them are partial bans, and some of them are full bans.
I mean, you really shouldn't keep monkeys, so that makes sense.
That's probably true. Some of the bans are that you can't own an ape, but you can own a monkey.
Oh, okay.
For instance, in Tennessee, you can have any kind of a monkey unless it's a baboon or an ape. In
Okay.
Arizona, all monkeys are allowed except for apes. What other cities, what other countries, what other states are there that Florida and Texas have some type of, it depends on the type of monkey, what's allowed and what's not. So you have to keep checking to see, in each state what their various laws are. I mean, there are 19 states that have bans on private monkey owning. So that would be California, Colorado, Connecticut, Georgia, Kentucky, Louisiana, Maine, Maryland, Massachusetts, Minnesota, New Hampshire, New Jersey, New Mexico, New York, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, Utah, Vermont, and Wyoming. And this article
I
that
guess
I
I
read,
shouldn't be surprised by this.
you are surprised or you're not surprised?
I shouldn't be, but I am. Like, growing up, I grew up in Virginia and I went to a pet store and they had monkey kibble just next to the dog kibble and the Purina cat chow, that sort of thing. And it never even occurred to me that enough people would own monkeys that you could have that in a pet store. But if Virginia is a place where you're allowed to have them, then I'm sure that happened. I live in Maryland now, so I certainly don't see it in pet stores over
Well,
here.
because it's illegal in Maryland. There you go. Right. What this article says is that if you live in one of these states and you have your heart set on a monkey friend, you may have to think about moving.
That makes sense.
Yes. Okay, next we will talk about owls. Are you allowed to own an owl if you do not live in Hogwarts?
My guess is that you are not allowed to own an owl if it is a species that is endangered or otherwise at risk. But maybe just generally, if you're rehabbing a wild animal, you can have it.
Okay, so the US does not allow private individuals to keep owls as pets, and the only people that are allowed to have them are people who are trained licensed individuals while being rehabilitated as foster parents in a rehabilitation facility or as part of a breeding program, or if you're doing it for educational purposes or falconry. Even though they,
Okay.
even though owls do not make good falconry birds, you're not allowed to own the bird though. You can only have it, during the course of the time that you're using them for this particular, permit.
Okay. I have a couple of friends who study falconry. One of them is an apprentice falconer,
Oh, wow.
and she had to find her falcon, and it specifically had to be a young falcon that was male, that probably didn't have that it had already bred for the season, that sort of thing. So it's not surprising to me that there'd be that amount of stipulation on having owls just around you, not
Right.
even necessarily owning them.
Okay, I can understand that. I actually found a list of the top 10 reasons you don't want to have an owl for a pet. Okay. Number 10, taking a vacation or going on a business trip will be very difficult because you can't just take the owl with you. Because you can't take them across state lines also. Number 9, owls can be very destructive. They have a natural killing instinct that can be applied to blankets, pillows, clothing, stuffed animals, and just about anything else that can be shredded. Number 8, mating season involves a lot of all-night racket. Most owls are active at night, so that's when they'll be hooting and calling during mating season. If you have neighbors nearby, they won't be very happy about the noise. Number seven, most owls don't like to be petted or cuddled. Captive owls still retain their natural instincts, and traditional petting doesn't fit into the owl scheme of things. Number six, owls are high maintenance. They require daily feeding, cleaning, and attention. Owls that are capable of flying need to be flown regularly or housed in a very large cage where they can get adequate exercise. So far we've gone through five, and I've already been convinced that it's not worth
Yeah, I'm not interested.
Exactly. Owl number five, owls are long-lived. They can live more than 30 years in captivity if things go well. Taking care of of an owl is a long-term commitment. Number four, beaks and talons are sharp. If the owl doesn't like what you're doing, it's going to let you know, and you might wind up bleeding because of it. Number three, owls need specialized care. Most veterinarians don't have the necessary training to properly care for owls, so you'll need to find a vet who's comfortable working with an owl. Number two, feathers, pellets, and poop. Owls molt thousands of feathers every year, and they wind up everywhere. Owls throw up pellets of fur and bones wherever they happen to be at the time, and poop happens a lot. In addition to regular poop, like most birds, owls also empty out the end of their intestines once a day. I'm not even going to keep reading how it explains what they actually do. So I don't think so. And the number one reason that you should not own, that it's not a good idea to own an owl, is because of the food. You can't just go down to the local grocery store and buy owl chow. Owls are strictly carnivores and require diets of whole animals for proper health. They eat gophers, rats, rabbits, and mice. It'll be a little difficult if you're not prepared to cut up dead animals every night of your life for 10 years or more. You aren't up for having an owl.
Yeah, that doesn't sound ideal.
No. And then as George leaves the room, so Uncle Billy then puts his head down on the desk, crosses his arms, and starts sobbing like crazy. And as he's sobbing, he is visited by another domesticated animal, I guess you can say. A squirrel comes by and tries to console him by climbing on his shoulder.
It was a squirrel hug.
Yes, it's true. It's true. And then the shot changes, and we start hearing the music of Hark the Herald Angels Sing, which is a famous Christmas song. Do you know how far back the song goes? Do you know when it was written?
I don't, but I know that it's a traditional churchy sort of Christmas song, so probably hundreds of years.
Okay, that's a nice guess. 1739. Was the first time that it appeared.
Aha,
There you were. You were
I
very right.
was
Very good. There was a collection of hymns and sacred poems that was released in 1739, and it appeared in it. And it's based on a line from Luke, which tells of an angelic chorus singing praises to God.
We're not inherently listening to the entire song, though. We only hear the first four measures of this song,
Correct.
and this is the only minute where that's not obnoxious, I would say.
Yeah, but what can you do? That's the way it is. So we see George enter the house. You see that he's in a terrible mood. And he's welcomed by his wife and children. And as he's doing that, he ends up we just get a whole bunch of hello darling, hello daddy, hello daddy, and then how do you like it? And then George sneezes and then gets two bless yous. So he is blessed by by his family members. I mean, we talked a few months ago about how people react in various countries to sneezing. So we won't go over that again. We shall spare everyone that one. Next week, we're going to have a lot more to talk about what's going on in this house. So this is a teaser for next week. And I mean, that's all I have. Do you have anything else for this minute?
Just that it looks like George is going to a lovely home, and anybody would be very silly to be unhappy to be there.
Okay, but he does have, in his defense, he has a lot on his mind right now.
He
He has
does.
8,000 good reasons to not want to be there. How's that?
Absolutely. And he's starting to get sick. So
Yes.
everybody's in a bad mood when they're already not feeling great.
That is true. Understandable. And compounded with everything else, we don't even know what happened to Mr. Carter.
True.
Because he's got to get back to Elmira. So I don't know. Every Friday, our segment is Oscar Oops. Over the last 95 years that they've had the Oscar, so there's been lots of controversy over the years as to which movies deservingly won or shouldn't have won, and what other films should have won instead of them, or whatever it is. So what I decided to do is add a little segment this season, where my guests will be able to discuss some of their favorite films that they think should have won Best Picture, despite being nominated, were somehow trumped by something else. So, Leandra, what have you got for us? Start with your number five and work your way up.
All right. My number five was in 2005, Crash won, but I strongly believe that Brokeback Mountain should have. So then next up was in 1987, The Last Emperor won, but the film that I particularly love from 1987 was Moonstruck, and I definitely think it's the better film.
Okay.
In 1964, My Fair Lady won. And I don't know if this is a hot take or not. I don't think it's a hot take. Dr. Strangelove, I think, should have won over My Fair Lady. I can appreciate people disagreeing, but Dr. Strangelove was just this really fun, subversive film that I think had more to tell than My Fair Lady.
All right.
Next up is from 1941, as you may know, How Green Was My Valley won, which I don't know if you've seen it. I
I've seen it
personally
numerous
don't like
times.
that film. It's just not my favorite. There were so many really good films that were nominated that year, but I think Citizen Kane is the one that was the most shocking to not win.
Okay.
And then my number one is 1998, Shakespeare in Love won. And I love Shakespeare. Shakespeare in Love should have been a film that I would love. It was not. The film that should have won was Life is Beautiful. Truly one of the most depressing and wonderfully shot films that I've seen. Life is Beautiful really, really does take the cake.
All right, great. That is a great list. Once again, anyone who wants to hear my list is going to have to stick it out and make it to the last episode to find out what I think, where these
Ooh.
the where you know what I think about all these various movies, and what should what are my top five? And some of them will probably surprise some of you. But again, it's just a teaser. You got to come back for that. In another 40, another 35, 37, 37 episodes from now. So, great. So, Leandra, would you like to, for one final time this season, tell people where they can find you?
Yes, please. You can find me at RockyHorrorMinute.com or any old place that you find your podcast, just look up Rocky Horror Minute.
All right. And while you're doing that, you can rate, review, and subscribe on any podcast you might be using to listen to the show. Finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter. And you can find me on my website, movierobminute.com. So, Leandra, thank you very much for joining me this week. I've I've had a great time. I hope you have too.
Absolutely, so much fun.
All right, great. And I will be back on Monday with a new guest, where we will continue to talk about this great movie from 1946. So have a great weekend, everybody. Until Monday, hot dog.
Hot
I
dog.
love you truly, truly dear. Life with its sorrow, life with its tears.